Welcome to the podcast of Grace Community Bible Church. We hope and pray that you are blessed, challenged, and inspired by this message. For other sermons or other information, visit us at gracebiblechurch.org.au.
It was only a matter of weeks ago that Christine and I had an evening stroll along a small section of the Appian Way. This road, this way, was built in the late 4th century before Christ, and it connected Rome with southeastern Italy and was vital for military movements, for trade, for the great expansion of the Roman Empire. The Apostle Paul walked this famous way, as recorded by Luke in Acts 28 and verse 15. And before him, Phoebe walked this way. Now, some of you there may be thinking, well, Paul I know, but who is this Phoebe? Paul's letter to the Romans and the 16th chapter. The last book of that epistle, the last chapter, rather, of that epistle, contains some of the names of people to whom Paul was writing in Rome. And it also contains the names of some who were with Paul as he was writing in Corinth and who were joining him in sending greetings to the saints in Rome. And in that 16th chapter, the very first person Paul mentions is Phoebe. Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Two simple verses in our Bible, yet verses that give us cause for self-examination, mutual recognition and compassion for one another. So my task this morning is simply this. What can we glean? What can we learn from these two verses, from this saint who, as it were, labored behind the scene? I want you to think with me, first of all, about the membership that Phoebe possessed. The membership that Phoebe possessed. Your Bible's open to that 16th chapter of Romans, and Paul says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many, of I myself. Paul begins with these words, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Notice those two words, our sister. For what do they imply? Surely they point to her family. They arise from the fact that Phoebe was a member of the family of God, of the household of faith, of the body of Christ. For you notice what Paul adds, Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is in Cenchrea. Cenchrea was the port, as it were, of the city of Corinth. And thus to Paul, to the Christians in Rome, and to the believers at Corinth, Phoebe is our sister. Now, how could he write that? What it is that brings the Corinthians and the Romans, Paul, a Jew from Tarsus, and Phoebe, a pagan from Greece. How could they come together into one family? Well, as you read Romans 16, one little phrase jumps out at you. It's a popular phrase of the apostle. In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. You get it in verse 3, you get it in verse 7, you get it in verse 8, you get it in verse 9, you get it in verse 10, you get it in verse 12, you get it in verse 13, and so on as the chapter goes, as he speaks about these people in Rome and those saints in Corinth, what they have in common in unity is this: they are all in union with Christ Jesus. Because the fact is, a Christian is not simply some person who has been saved from hell, but one whose life has been impacted by the love of God and have been adopted into his family, and that only in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and I'm turning over to Ephesians chapter 1, he directs our attention to this very fact that all the blessings of the Christian life are contained in Christ and Christ alone. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. All the blessings flow from this fountain, Christ Jesus. You turn over a chapter and you go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. And what does he say? For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father, so that you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. The Corinthian believers were believers because of Christ. The Roman saints are saints because of Christ. Paul is an apostle because of Christ. Phoebe, our sister, because of Christ. If I might quote Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he wrote, there is no such thing as belonging to the family of God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. In more recent years, the words of Sinclair Ferguson, we are not to look for spiritual blessings outside of or apart from Christ. It is to Jesus Christ and our union with him that we need to look in order to experience and appreciate the riches of salvation. Phoebe, our sister, a member with all other believers in the family of God. For how did John write regarding this fact? Oh, he says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave them the right, he gave them the authority, he gave them the power to become the children of God. Born of God, born of his Spirit. And when John comes to write his epistle, the wonderful words of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Beloved, what manner of love the Father has given to us, has bestowed upon us, that we, the likes of us, should be called, known, be the children of God. And he says, and such we are. Not maybe, not hope so, but are the children of God. Well, my friends, do you know these things? Do you believe these things? Paul writes, Phoebe, our sister. And he points to the fact that this pagan woman, for Phoebe is the feminine form of a name given to the god Apollo, had become a Christian, bought and brought by God's grace into a saving, vital relationship with his Son, and thus into the fellowship of the saints, a member of God's household, as Donnie was saying, a member of that invisible church, but yea, finding expression as a member in the local church at St. Crea. Our sister, writes the apostle, a family member through faith, and faith to what a future. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you, my family, will be also. I wonder this morning if you're part of that household. I wonder this morning whether you're part of that family. I wonder, sitting there, if you can say, Phoebe, my sister, because you're in the family of God. Phoebe, the membership she possessed. But why does Paul commend her here in his epistle to the Romans? Why does he commend her? Well, I answer, secondly, because of the mission that Phoebe accepted. The mission that Phoebe accepted. You see, biblical scholars agree that it was Phoebe who carried from Corinth and delivered to the Roman Christians Paul's letter, his epistle to the Romans. Phoebe was the bearer of that letter which is before us this morning. You see, if you analyze the 16th chapter, you will see that from verses 3 through 16, they refer to people at Rome to whom the apostle sends his greetings. And then from verse 21 to 24, he refers to people who are in Corinth and who want to add their greetings. But Phoebe stands apart and is personally and particularly commended to the believers in Rome. Because you see, there is no postal service as we know it in those days. The governing bodies and the military had their own means of communication. But for the general public, if you wanted to send a letter or a parcel and so forth, you had to find someone you could trust and who was going to the destination that you were writing to take and convey that parcel or letter to the ones to whom you were sending it. Thus, Phoebe's mission was to deliver Paul's epistle to the Romans. And what a mission it was. For think of its message. What is the message to the Romans? I'm turning over to the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 1. Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Set apart for the gospel of God. Here's the message right at the start. The apostle introduces his theme, the message that he is going to explain and expound, the gospel of God. And what is that? Well, you only have to go on a few verses into 16 and 17, and what does Paul say? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Again, if I may quote Lloyd-Jones, the good news Paul has got to give them is that God himself has introduced the way of saving men through Jesus Christ. God is doing something. He's doing it in Christ. He is giving to men and women Christ's righteousness, so that what we have now is salvation as a gift from God, a righteousness that comes from God in Christ Jesus through faith. And isn't that what he writes? Isn't Lloyd-Jones' summary correct? Look with me at chapter 3 of Romans. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Romans 3:20, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. What's Romans all about? It's all about God. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's about the gospel. It's about salvation. It's about grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to both Jew and Gentile, to the glory of God alone. And so as Paul expounds this, the riches of this gospel and the wonder of this gospel and the breadth and the depth and the height and length of this gospel, how does he respond to what he has been writing under the direction of the Spirit of God? Oh, you come to the 11th chapter and you come to the 34th verse and the apostle breaks out in doxology. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Where does the apostle's emphasis lie? On the very person of the Savior. My dear Christian brother and sister, how we thank God for the benefits of the gospel: justification, sanctification, glorification. But you know, we must guard our minds and our hearts lest we make more of the benefits than the benefactor, more of his gifts than of the giver. Oh yes, we need to explore these glorious truths and these grand themes. But listen, listen. If they don't humble us and cause us to worship, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Study theology. But not just to increase head knowledge, but through the knowledge you receive, it'll warm your heart and cause you to bend your knee before the High King of Heaven. Andrew Bonar said, "The person of Christ is and always has been the essence of the gospel." The message Phoebe conveyed was a message which was full of Christ and thus full of hope and assurance. And it's thought that Phoebe conveyed this letter to the saints at Rome somewhere around 55 to 57 AD. So how relevant was it to these saints in Rome? How appropriate, how applicable was this message to the Roman Christians? Well, I wondered, and again in my Bible, I'm turning to Romans chapter 8 and words that many of you will know well. But sometimes we get used to holy things. I want to read again to you, this time from Romans 8 and verse 31. Listen to these words. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised and is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long, we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus." How applicable were those words? Oh. Phoebe, who delivered this message, who most likely read the message to her hearers, did not realize what she was reading. And I don't think the saints did either. But you know, within 7 to 8 years after the reading and the reception of this epistle, many, many of her hearers died by the sword in the arena in Rome. Many, many others torn by wild beasts in the Circus Maximus. Others bound to sticks and set on light to lighten up Nero's gardens. Shall anything separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Oh, my dear friends. Romans, I think, is not only theologically perfect as far as salvation is concerned, but I think it was somewhat prophetic that the Lord knew what these saints were going to have to endure, and thus to comfort and sustain, Phoebe brings this message to them. No, nothing can separate from God's love. What a ministry this message had. And what a ministry this message has had down through the history. You read its impact on the life of Augustine. You read the words that that great preacher, John Chrysostom, who had the letter of the Romans, read to him twice every week. You think of Martin Luther and how crucial Romans was in his conversion. And the testimony of John Wesley, May 24th, 1738, in Aldersgate Street in London, listening to the reading of Martin Luther's commentary on the Epistle to the Romans, said, "My heart was strangely warmed." He knew pardon, forgiveness. He was converted. Samuel Taylor Coleridge called Romans the profoundest book in existence. Now, my friends, do we realize these things? How much time do we give to these things? When did we last stop and ponder this glorious epistle? The mission Phoebe faced. Donald Graney Barnhouse wrote this: "Never was there a greater burden carried by such tender hands. The theological history of the church through the centuries was in the manuscript which she brought with her. The Reformation was in her baggage. The blessing of multitudes in our day was carried in those parchments." The mission given to Phoebe. Phoebe, our sister. But I ask the question again. Why Phoebe? Was it simply a matter of convenience that Phoebe was going to Rome, probably on business, and so Paul engaged her? Maybe. But I have a slight suspicion there's something more. Why Phoebe? Well, think with me finally and thirdly. The marks Phoebe exhibited. The marks Phoebe exhibited. What did Paul write? Verse 1 of chapter 16. A servant of the church. Phoebe had a servant heart. Now, there has been much ink spilt by biblical scholars and commentators over that word servant. Because you see, it's the Greek word from which we get our word deacon. And so the question is here, how's this term being used by Paul in Romans 16:1? Is Phoebe a church officer? Was she a deacon in the church at Cenchrea? Or is Paul simply saying that she's a faithful servant of the Lord? You know, is Paul using the term in an official sense or in a general sense? And as I indicated, scholars, including conservative evangelical scholars, are divided over the matter. For example, I find it interesting. Professor John Murray argued for the general sense of the word, whilst Leon Morris argued for the official sense. So I'm going to put it out there and you can decide for yourselves. You see, to me, whatever be the case, the fact is this: Phoebe, like our Lord himself, moved amongst others as one who served. Wasn't that what Jesus said? "I came not to be served, but to serve." Philippians 2. He served. And what is it to serve? Surely serving is love in action. It's showing a genuine interest in the well-being of others. And service is characterized by availability, dependability, adaptability, sincerity. These were all elements, we might say, that could be traced to Phoebe's heart. She had a servant heart. But then notice also, Phoebe demonstrated a generous nature. For in that second verse, you get that word patron or helper. You see, the thought is that Phoebe may have very well been like Lydia of Acts 16. That is, that she was a very successful and wealthy businesswoman. And that her trip to Rome was fundamentally a business trip. And the apostle, in commending her, advises those in Rome that she had not only supported the church in Cenchrea, but had been one who had been supporting his own ministry. And thus, in so doing, Phoebe aligns herself, we might say, with those women who followed the disciples and Jesus. For you see, if you were to go to Luke 18, the first three verses, you will find that there were those women who followed our Lord and, to quote the text, who provided for them, that is, the disciples and our Lord, out of their own means. And it's interesting, the word, our English word there, who provided, is the same word we get for deacon. It's just a mirror of Phoebe. These women in our Lord's life, they ministered to him and supported him, we would say, financially. And so, therefore, the grace of giving, as was indicated and manifested by Phoebe, is indicative of a transformed life. It's an illustration, as it were, a demonstration of Christ's likeness. For though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. And you only have to read the opening chapters of the book of the Acts, and you see those who had property sold them and gave to those in need. And this was not because of some political bent, but because of their spirituality. They shared what they had because they were generous. They were generous for they'd been born of God, where God's generosity is demonstrated at Golgotha. So that, my friends, the family of God is a generous family. For what do we have that has not yet been given to us? Phoebe had a servant heart. She had a generous nature. And so Phoebe manifested a humble spirit. What did Paul say? I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Those were the words that actually jumped out at me more than anything else in the text. I commend unto you Phoebe. Why did they strike me? Because, you see, they fly in the face of today's culture and mindset. We are living in an age where men and women and young people are inflated with their own sense of their own importance. They believe that everything and everyone should revolve around them. You look at the entertainment world, you look on the sporting field, the thumping of the chest, the punching in the air, the raising of arms, urging greater admiration and adulation. Or you consider the social media where self-aggrandizement has become normal. How many followers do you have? How many friends do you have trying to affirm your popularity and your acceptance? And to many of us, we live as though this world owes us something. You ought to do this for me. I'm deserving of this. You must serve me. You must meet my needs. I have rights. We live in a self orientated world. And I may even go so far as to say it has impacted our grammar. If you notice, and some, the older folk will notice this more than the younger folk, sorry, young folk, me has become first in the sentence. It used to be Christine and I went overseas. Now it's me and Christine went overseas. It strikes you, doesn't it? It's a me, me, me world. But what does Paul say? I commend Phoebe, our sister. I commend Phoebe. The words of our Bible reading, Proverbs 27, verse 2, let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. They were the words of the prophet, Jeremiah 9, the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 10, 18. If there is anything that God detests, it is self-commendation. Read the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Read Paul's epistles and see how he distances himself from his antagonists who triumphed over their own commendations, who bragged about their own achievements, who would, we would say in our day, not only fill out your CV, but write your own references. Paul does not glory in his accomplishments, but rather acknowledges that his talents, his abilities, his wisdom, his strength, all that he had, had been given to him by the Lord. And so he ascribes all honor and glory to him. The fact is, my friends, the grace of humility, because it is a grace, is the beauty of holiness. We might say there's nothing more lovelier than a humble brother or sister. Humility is the source of all harmony, even in a local church. Humility is what's required of this to be harmony. And thirdly, humility is the motivation in our hymnody. The true praise and thanks and gratitude and worship only arises from a humble heart. So let him that boasts, boast in the Lord. Phoebe, the membership she possessed, the mission she accepted, the mark she evidenced, Romans 16, 1 and 2, are God's appraisal of Phoebe. What would he say about you? What would he say about me? Whose approval do we seek? Let's pray. Father, help us to understand, help us to take it in. Our Father, grant to us, because we surely, surely each need that grace which would grant to us a humility which would issue forth in wonder and love and praise. Your Son humbled himself even to death on a cross. Oh, Father, may the Spirit of Jesus be seen in us for your name's sake. Amen.